Welcome to my Soul Series. Soul Series is part of Oprah and Friends, exclusively on XM Radio Channel 156. And you can listen to the entire Soul Series collection on xmradio.com/Oprah. It's uplifting, enlightening, truly powerful. Welcome to Soul Series. Hi, I'm Oprah. I can't get enough of Loving What Is by Byron Katie, so much so that I've invited her to continue our conversation talking about loving what is. Welcome back, Byron Katie. One of the things you talk about in the book is the three businesses, your business, everybody else's business, and God's business. Most people, as you've said to us in previous weeks, are worried about their other people's business.
Our daughters, our sons, hunger, war, you know, and we're mentally running the world and we're asleep to our own.
Okay. Now, you describe in Loving What Is, I know I wrote it down for myself because I was so struck by this. Now, where are my notes? When you were talking about your own daughter who was an addict, mm-hmm. by her own words. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us about that? When you're waiting up for your daughter?
Well, my amazing daughter was full of resentment. I was so full of self-hatred, and I took it out on my children, and it was not an easy life for them, living with a mother that was so bitter. And when I had this experience, waking up to reality, mm-hmm. I came to understand that my daughter was into drugs and alcohol. Mm-hmm. I just bought her a brand new, gorgeous car, and here she is. I'm seeing this, you know, drinking alcoholically and driving, but she would leave, and I would wait up for her. And Oprah, I would sit in a chair like this, and I would imagine her dead on the highway. I would imagine her raped. I would imagine her, right. her killing other human beings. I would imagine her in the car rolled over out. We lived in the desert and rolled over with screaming for help and no one there. Right. It was all in my imaginations with all of the images and all of the, just as strong as they could possibly be.
Living in your imagination, sitting there, imagining, is she dead? Is she going to harm mm-hmm. somebody else? That's when you were suffering. So in your imagination.
No, I never suffered.
You didn't suffer.
I was sitting there waiting to see what was true, the difference between reality and fantasy.
Okay.
Until human beings get the difference between reality and sanity, there's not going to be any peace.
Now, what you say in Loving What He is that all the things you've just shared with her, I'm her mother. I bought her the car. I'm responsible. I should take her car from her. She'll drive while she's drunk. She'll kill somebody. She'll crash into another car. As the thoughts appeared, and each one would be met with wordless, thoughtless inquiry.
Yes.
An inquiry, instantly, inquiry meaning the four questions.
Yes.
Is it true? Brought me back to reality. Here is what was true. Woman sitting in chair waiting for her beloved daughter.
Yes.
That's the only thing that was real.
That's all that was real.
And so for you who are listening, if you can separate from your thoughts, be the awareness of your thoughts.
Or see what is true and what is not.
What is true and what is not.
Yeah.
Well, how do we, if we are, you know, for most people, as I said at the beginning of this, is that most people are searching for ways to, you know, be in other people's business. And their biggest concerns are what other people mm-hmm. are doing to them. Mm-hmm. How do you get away from, and I've had this issue that I'll share with you. For me, and lots of people I think have this issue, when you're the person in your family who makes the most money or the person who's been
yes.
the most successful, people have a tendency to look at you mm-hmm. as a bank.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I call it honest yeses and honest noes.
All right.
So if someone said, it's like if I'm Oprah, for example, hypothetically,
yes.
what do those people say? So just be all of them rolled into one mm-hmm. and let's have a conversation.
Okay. All right. So I have, I want to borrow some money mm-hmm. from you.
You know, thank you for asking. And no.
Oh, well, then that ended it. Well, that's it. That's not generally the way it goes.
Let's have that conversation.
Okay. I can't believe with all that you have and you're helping other people all the time that you won't give me $100,000.
I know. It just sounds nuts, doesn't it? But it feels right to me.
Well, all I'm asking for is $100,000, and you have it. You have it.
That's true. I do. I do.
And I want some of it.
I know. I know.
Okay, never mind. End of conversation. Oh, my gosh.
See, it goes back to defense is the first act of war.
Okay. It's because I'm defending it.
Yes, like you don't have a right to it.
You shoulds, and you shoulds, and you shoulds, and can't you believe, and haven't I done enough?
And that is war, and it belongs on paper. It to question it, then it just leaves love. But all I was experiencing is they have a problem. I don't. I mean, that's really
I have done what
kind.
I thought was the kind thing. Yeah. And that
I feel
should
right
be enough.
Well, it is enough. But if you continue to say yes, you train them to come back.
Yes, absolutely.
And it's like, why do they do it? Well, you continue to say yes. And then guilt, because you're not living out of your heart.
Mm-hmm. I love the example you used in the book where the woman said, my husband, you know, I hate my husband. She said, I don't want to have sex with my husband. My husband's a loser. My husband's all of these things. And in the beginning, when you first started asking her, she said, yeah, he is a loser.
Yeah, in her opinion. And then the mind gives her all of the proof, all of the images, compares him with other men, etc. And she turns her off. That's no kind of sex life.
Right.
But if she thinks, if she questions it and turns it around, you know, and then to see what is as true or truer, not to change a person's mind, that's not what the work is about, but to realize what is as true or truer, to enlighten the mind.
Okay, she says, even his breathing makes me ill. I want to leave him because of his breathing.
Yes.
I hate his breathing. Well, in some cases, when somebody says, you know, my husband's a loser or they're taking advantage of me, this person doesn't respect me or doesn't you know, value me, sometimes that is true.
Well, if I thought another person should value me, then I've got a problem. You know, people can't value me if they don't. Can you value someone when you don't? It's not possible.
No.
So we question what we're believing about that person.
I can't say that there are people that are in my family. I feel that there are people in my family who don't respect me.
Okay, is that true?
That is true.
Okay. So how do you react when you believe the thought, people in my family do not respect me?
It makes me angry. It makes me resent them. It makes me not want to talk to them. It makes me want to push back. It makes me not feel loving. It makes me want to avoid them.
Yes.
It makes me all of those things.
Yes. And who would you be without the thought, my family doesn't respect me?
I mean,
imagine yourself with them. Imagine yourself.
But I know. I've seen it too many times.
Well, I'm not asking you not to believe it.
Okay.
I'm simply asking you just for a moment to witness who you would be without the thought they don't respect me.
Okay. I would be different.
Yes, and they would be entitled to their own opinion. They could respect they have a right to not respect or to respect people, and you would be aware of that. Who would you be without the thought they don't respect me? And so let's turn it around. Respect me.
Yes.
What's the opposite?
I don't respect them.
Yes. Look how you're not respecting them.
How so?
Well, if they don't respect you, you're not respecting it. How respectful is that?
Huh?
Like if you don't respect me.
Yes.
And I don't respect that. If I don't respect that you don't respect me.
Then I'm not respecting you. Okay, I got it. Epiphany, I got that. So if you don't respect me, if you're going to take advantage of me, and I...
How could, no one can take advantage of me.
No one can.
That's not possible.
Okay.
I mean, when they came to you...
Huh?
Like, if you don't respect me...
Yes.
And I don't respect that, if I don't respect that you don't respect me...
Then I'm not respecting you. Okay, I got it. Epiphany, I got that. So if you don't respect me...
Honey, who said yes? And who did you disrespect?
Let's see. Who did I disrespect?
That would be you.
Yeah. I disrespected myself?
Yes.
I disrespected myself by giving them the money?
You didn't want to.
Okay. All right.
It was disrespectful to both of you and...
To give them the money.
Yes, because you didn't mean it.
Okay.
You're trying, you know, we do it thinking our guilt is going to be less, but our resentment builds.
No, we do it thinking not that our guilt's going to be less. Well, maybe we do. I haven't thought about it long enough. Maybe you do it thinking maybe this time will be it. So whether it's $50 or $500,
it doesn't matter.
It's disrespectful for me.
Yes.
To give money to people.
When it's not honest for you.
When it's not honest for you.
And to give them money to, you know, as though if I give them this, it'll be over.
Yes.
You know, because you're living a secret life and that's painful.
Yeah.
You know, I would say, I will give you this and this is the last time I'm giving you money. And see, I couldn't even say that because it may not be. But I say, I'm giving you this, and it is my hope that it is the last time you'll ask me for money again.
Uh-huh.
And then the next time they come back, if I still feel not to give them the money, then I say, I care about you. And no.
And no.
See, no has two parts. We tell them the truth and then the no. It's like, I care about you. I see that you may be in trouble. I really hear that you need it. And I have to tell you, no.
Well, this is what's great about the inquiry, because hearing you talk this way, because in reading it, I was thinking, well, gosh, you're just going to walk around in peace with yourself all the time,
no.
Saying yes to everybody time.
You know, and what good is integrity if it doesn't bring clarity? And clarity, you know, the truth is, it's oh my goodness, it's the truth that sets us free.
Yes. Well, let's get back to this whole not taking advantage of, because I think, I think you rang a bell there. Yeah.
How can someone take advantage of you? How is that possible?
I don't know. I'm thinking about that.
It's not.
I think there are lots of people who feel taken advantage of.
They definitely are.
Victims. They feel used.
Victims.
They feel that people, use them.
Yes.
And there are a lot of, and I had this for many years of my life, I can say I don't have this anymore, is this whole desire to please everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to please, trying to please, trying to.
Hopeless.
Yes. That's a hopeless situation.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you think that it's never enough, that you give and you give and give and give and give,
mm-hmm.
and it's never enough.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So how is it possible that someone could take advantage of me? You know, if someone took their fist and like they didn't like something I said and they just hit me as hard as they could and I knocked me clear against a wall.
Yes.
I began to laugh. Why?
Why would
I'm not crazy anymore. It's over. That is a state of grace. They hit me and it's over. Of course I'm grateful. It's over. Now here's where the pain begins.
Gosh, you're a different soul.
The mind begins to think, they shouldn't have done that. How dare they do that?
That's right.
And the mind shows the hit over and over and over. It's like he hit me once, but I use in his name to suffer. I use that image hits of him hitting me, and all of a sudden I'm a victim and then I get
the
world to agree.
Then you belabor it in your mind. He hit me.
And I get the world to agree that this is a terrible thing, and no one stops to consider it's over. And if he hits me again, it's over. And eventually, I'm out the door as soon as I can get to the dorm.
So you're not saying then take the abuse.
Oh no! It's like if I'm just shocked and he hit me, then I need to do something about that. And do I want to live with someone who is going to hit another human being that way? So if I stay, the next time he hits me, he didn't hit me. I hit me. It's like his job is to hit. That's a man or a woman who hits people. That's his job. Everything has its job. Everything has its job. His job is to hit women, if we use like a male in this case.
Yes.
And if I stay, I can no longer say he hit me and act shocked and surprised. I mean, he's doing his job. You know, the dog bites.
Okay.
Some dogs do, some dogs don't. This dog bites. So he hits me. I'm not shocked or surprised. I hit me at that point. But then we go out into the world and we say, he hit me. And we all agree the world is a terrible place to live. We're not taking responsibility for our own self. And so the clearer we get as we question what we believe about life and people and ourselves, the clearer we get, the kinder we become. And if a
and
man,
so is it always, always about you, me?
Always. Always.
It's always about
always,
me. It's
always.
Never about the other person.
It cannot be.
It cannot be.
It cannot be.
So people who are pissing us off.
We have to look to ourselves.
It's always about us.
If we're going to get free,
we have
always. Yeah.
And so we should, I was going to say, you ask yourself the four questions. Remind us again, is it true?
Is it true? Can you absolutely know that it's true? How do you react when you believe that thought? What happens? The fourth question, who would you be without that thought? And then turn the concept that you're inquiring of around and find opposites to see what is as true or truer. And just to notice, is the concept that you're dealing with, is it peaceful or is it stressful? And if it's stressful, then my job is to invite the world to the work. And the work, again, has no power. It is each of us individually. It is our power in our own answers.
You're saying that because
that set
it's
us
not,
free.
You're not some guru who's saying that my work is
my
the answer.
Goodness, I'm still working on me.
You're saying that the work has the power as it is applied by each person.
As it is applied by each of us, yes, okay. Each person.
But you know what I think, though, for many people who are new to this kind of thinking, and even for myself, when I first started reading Loving What Is, and I hear about not resisting the moment, I understand that in a certain context. And then I think about, as an African American growing up in the United States at a time when there was a whole group of people, civil rights leaders and people whose names made the history books and did not, who made it possible for me to be where I am, to sit where I am today. And had they not resisted the injustices, had they not fought against what was considered the norm, you know, I wouldn't be here, nor would there have been progress or success. So how do you explain or define that?
It's so slow. Mm-hmm. Even though it appears fast, it's, you know, in our lifetime, it's so slow.
Right.
You know, I say faster. You know, the work is for people in a hurry, you know, for people suffering that are in a hurry. And and yes, that's true. It's the best we had going for us on this planet.
Right.
But it is ready. It's, you know, this is a whole other paradigm that we are stepping into. And basically, as we believe our thoughts, we are going to fight. And that is slow. You know, can you imagine a world that is so ancient that they still kill each other? Where they still hate each other? Well, you know, it's for me, that's an ancient world. And we're all just kind of just moving on to what
evolving
works.
From that.
Evolving from that. But yes, those minds, and yes, that courage, you know, that's, they got
us
here.
Was necessary for the time.
Absolutely.
And you're saying this is a different time and a different way of reacting.
Yes. Yeah. You know, I have to tell you, Oprah, one of the most moving things I've ever seen in my life was I watched you not long ago. You were facing, there was a crowd, it looked like, all around you, and you had your arm in the air like this, and you said, "I am a free woman."
Oh.
And you turned behind you and you said, "I am a free woman." And it just rang from my head to my toe. That's our birthright as a human being, freedom. But you know, I was in a very large prison. One day when I was there working with these men, a man started screaming, and he screamed, and he screamed, and it set everyone, many other men, off screaming. But he was screaming because he was shut in a cell with his head. I mean, they shut him in there with himself. Mm. And when you believe your thoughts, you are, that's hell. And and you put a Buddhist monk in there and you shut the door. He says, "Thank you."
I got that.
But this man that you lock up, you know, it's, "I'm a terrible human being. I did it wrong. Well, there's no hope for me. No one understands." That is hell.
I got that epiphany just then. Because, right, there's only him in the cell with himself.
Yes.
And he's screaming.
Yes.
Because he's left alone with his own mind.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, then don't do you believe that some people deserve punishment for the things that they do?
Absolutely not. Oh, my goodness. You know, no one would harm another human being if they were not confused. No one would kill another human being if they were not believing their thoughts. If someone walked up and, you know, if someone...
Well, this is just radical. This is so radical. Mm-hmm. How are we? What are we going to do with the prisons and all those people who are harming people?
Well, you know, I say that if they questioned what they believe, then they're rehabilitated. And then when they come out, they're different human beings.
Okay. But you do believe that they have to be incarcerated someplace.
Well, absolutely. If I hurt you and I hurt someone else and I hurt someone else, have you ever hurt someone? You know how that feels?
Yes.
My goodness, stop me. If you love me, stop me.
Yes.
Lock me up.
Yes.
Because it hurts me to harm another human
right.
being.
Right.
It's mercy.
Yeah.
But then give me some way to deal with my mind so that I don't do it again.
Mm-hmm.
And that way is self-realization, God realization, and the work is... It is the way to wake up.
And you're saying that self-realization, not live, doesn't mean a thing. It's just a bunch of goo-goo-gaga stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So incarcerate, but in the process of incarceration, do allow them to do the work.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Very simple. Very simple.
Thank you, Byron Katie.
Oh, you're so welcome. These moments.
Unlike anybody I know, you not only see the glass half full, you see it overflowing.
Well, the universe is friendly, and I invite people not to believe me, but to test it for themselves.
Thank you. What a joy.
You're welcome.
I hope you enjoyed this edition of our Soul Series. These are some of my favorite conversations.
To hear more, sign up for a free 30-day XM Radio trial by going to www.xmradio.com/Oprah.
If you're going to take advantage of me, and I...
How can, no one can take advantage of me.
No one can.
That's not possible.
Okay.
I mean, when they came to you for money, who said yes? And who did you disrespect?
Oh, let's see. Who did I disrespect?
That would be you.
Yeah. I disrespected myself?
Yes.
I disrespected myself by giving them the money?
You didn't want to.
Okay. All right.
It was disrespectful to both of you and
to give them the money.
Yes, because you didn't mean it.
Okay.
You're trying, you know, we do it thinking our guilt is going to be less, but our resentment builds.
No, we do it thinking not that our guilt's going to be less. Well, maybe we do. I haven't thought about it long enough. Maybe you do it thinking maybe this will be it. So whether it's $50 or $500.
It doesn't matter.
It's disrespectful for me.
Yes.
To give money to people.
When it's not honest for you. And to give them money to, you know, as though if I give them this, it'll be over.
Yes.
You know, because you're living a secret life, and that's painful.
Yeah.
You know, I would say, I will give you this, and this is the last time I'm giving you money. And see, I couldn't even say that because it may not be. But I say, I'm giving you this, and it is my hope that it is the last time you'll ask me for money again.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And then the next time they come back, if I still feel... not to give them the money, then I say, I care about you. And no. See, no has two parts. We tell them the truth and then the no. It's like, I care about you. I see that you may be in trouble. I really hear that you need it. And I have to tell you, no.
Well, this is what's great about the inquiry, because I, you know, hearing you talk this way, because in reading it, I was thinking, well, gosh, you're just going to walk around in peace with yourself all the time,
no.
saying yes to everybody all the time.
You know, and what good is integrity if it doesn't bring clarity? And clarity, you know, the truth is, it's oh my goodness, it's the truth that sets us free.
Yes. Well, let's get back to this whole not taking advantage of, because I think, you know, I think you rang a bell there. Yeah.
How can someone take advantage of you? How is that possible?
I don't know. I'm thinking about that.
It's not.
I think there are lots of people who feel taken advantage of.
There definitely are.
Victims. They feel used.
Victims.
They feel that people, you know, use them.
Yes.
And there are a lot of, and I had this for many years of my life. I can say I don't have this anymore, is this whole desire to please everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to please.
Hopeless.
Yes. That's a hopeless situation.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you think we're either that it's pleased never enough or we're not. That you give and you give and you give and give and give, mm-hmm. and it's never enough?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So how is it possible that someone could take advantage of me? You know, if someone took their fist and like they didn't like something I said and they just hit me as hard as they could and I knocked me clear against a wall.
Yes.
I begin to laugh. Why?
Why would
I'm
you
not
laugh?
Crazy anymore. It's over. That is a state of grace. They hit me and it's over. Of course I'm grateful. It's over. Now here's where the pain begins.
Gosh, you're a different soul.
The mind begins to think, they shouldn't have done that. How dare they do
that? Right.
And the mind shows the hit over and over and over. It's like he hit me once, but I use in his name to suffer. I use that image hits of him hitting me, and all of a sudden I'm a victim, and then you belabor it in your mind.
He hit me.
And I get the world to agree that this is a terrible thing, and no one stops to consider it's over. And if he hits me again, it's over.